You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Amanda in Wisconsin. And Amanda's question is about when the child expects us to role play and what liberty we can take within the role play and still be adherent to the model. So we're going to dive into that in just a second. I just wanted to let y'all know we're about 8 or so episodes away from the 300th Play Therapy Podcast episode. So for the 300th, we're going to do something special and we're going to do another live event. So I'm just teasing it now. We'll have more details in the next few episodes of how you can sign up and make sure that you get yourself a spot if you'd like to attend the live episode. And essentially what will happen is we will discuss a topic together and then we'll do live Q&A for as long as we need to go. And that will become an extended podcast episode to celebrate all of us for achieving the milestone of 300 episodes. And I know many of you have listened to every single one. So here's a big hug and a high five to each of you that have been with me from the beginning. Those of you that are making your way through episodes in order, I'm super grateful for you all as well. We have just had such a huge increase in listenership, and I know that's because of you all and your commitment and telling your friends and your coworkers and colleagues and all of that. So 300th episode coming up, that's huge. Most podcasts do not make 50, and we're hitting 300. So thanks to y'all. I appreciate you and love you. All right. So let me read parts of Amanda's email, and then we'll dive into discussion. My client often role plays being a teacher and playing school. Within the context of her play, she's often very particular about how I complete the worksheets and how I answer questions. However, she also often gives me choices, such as you can choose the green marker or the brown marker, or it's free choice time, you can draw on this sheet of paper whatever you want. I've tried replying with various verbalizations such as you want me to choose, but in here you get to decide, or you would like me to choose, but I wonder what you think. Or whispering voice, which should I choose? Or whisper, I wonder what I should draw. And every time it comes down to the fact that this child is trying to have school in the playroom go the way it does at real school, which is the teacher offers the students choices and the student gets to decide. This has been articulated in different ways at different times by the child. This child is often quite inflexible and rigid, you think, both at home and in the playroom, and has a hard time when things do not go exactly as she has planned it in her head. I'm curious how you would respond to the child's choice giving in this type of situation. All right. So huge thank you, Amanda. This is actually a really helpful question. So first and foremost, we want to always go back to the why behind the insistence. And we've done other episodes on this before. I've talked about this in not only the curriculum podcast, but also in some of the listener questions that I've responded to. What we're always trying to assess and evaluate is the motivation behind the insistence. And I think you got to it at the very end of that email, Amanda. You said she is often quite inflexible and rigid and has a hard time when things do not go exactly as she had it planned in her head. Okay, so it's obvious that this is deep work that's happening. So every time you return responsibility and she fights you on it, it's her inflexibility. It's her rigidity. It's her need to control everything and govern everything. And when it doesn't go the way that she wants, she has a really difficult time adjusting and accepting. So we recognize this for what it is, and we remain adherent in the midst of what we understand is the catalyst for this. So what does that look like? I think often what is the most effective strategy is we return responsibility and or we get directives and cues several times until we are able to make a decision based very clearly on parameters that the child has established. So for example, your first scenario, you can choose the green marker or the brown marker. I would return responsibility 3 times. So, oh, I wonder which one you would choose for me. Or you get to decide. Or, I'm not really sure which one you would have me pick. We're going to try that 3 times. The standard rule is always try 3 times. If the child continues to buck and continues to make it clear, look, when I'm in school and the teacher says, you can choose to color. I'm able to color whatever I want, and I'm trying to play school. I mean, she's not going to articulate it in this way, but that's the vibe, right? I am trying to create the same exact scenario that is in the classroom, where the teacher gives parameters and then the child is free to choose. Okay, so if we recognize that she's actually trying to replicate real-world school scenario, if she's given you green and brown as options, you can choose either one. Because in this case, for the school scenario, the child would have the freedom to pick what color she wanted to color with. Now, the caveat is, if she is asking you to pick what color you're going to be for a game, this is where it gets trickier, because this is not in the confines of what would happen in a classroom. We have no idea what color the child actually wants us to be. And oftentimes we will stand firm, and then we finally concede or we finally cave, and because the child insists that we have to choose. I choose for you to choose. That's their favorite, right? So they're choosing for us to choose, and then you say, okay, I choose blue. And almost always, what's the immediate response? No, you can be red. Okay, so we always get it thrown back in our faces when we are not adherent to the model. We know that it is not about the color decision in that scenario. In this one with the marker, though, at school, you are given parameters and then freedom within parameters. So if she's trying to recreate the exact same scenario that that she experiences in the classroom, then it would be appropriate to say, you're telling me to choose the green or the brown marker, just like at school. And then I would say, so I choose the brown. And that typically will satisfy because it was very clear. Now, some of these other ones, you can draw on this sheet of paper whatever you want. Okay, so this one has less structure because you're not being given options here. Whatever you want is very, very broad. So I would return responsibility. I would try to get directives and cues three times. So maybe the directive is, it doesn't matter. It can literally be anything. Okay, well, now you actually have a little bit more to go on. But what if she says, just draw an animal? Oh, okay, well, now you've been given a cue. So you're always hoping to get more specificity out of the child in those three rounds of returning responsibility. If it comes down to, it literally doesn't matter, just choose whatever you want to draw. Draw something really simple and benign, like lines or circles or squares. Draw something really simple, really basic, because the child is saying you can draw whatever you want. So within that freedom, don't take liberty. In other words, you know, don't draw a very complex picture, don't draw a person, don't draw a house. I mean, those are very specific decisions. Shapes or lines or doodles are not going to redirect the child's play in any way. So the goal is neutrality. We had a whole series on neutrality, remember? This would be the goal in a scenario where we are being given some freedom to make choices. And I would continue, Amanda, to use what you've been using. So we use the whisper technique, we use the wonder technique, we return responsibility, we wait for the child to give us some cues. It's really about wordsmithing, and I say that a lot because I feel like we become wordsmiths when we are CCPT. It's really about the way that we phrase our responses. So, okay, you'd like me to draw something. And gosh, there are so many options. Often if we narrate around what we've been asked to do, we don't actually have to comply. So in other words, if she says, draw whatever you want, you could talk about how difficult it is to figure out what to draw. Oh gosh, there's so many things that I could draw. So you're telling me I can draw whatever I want. And I'm not sure what I would draw. And if you do that long enough, often what will happen is the child gets so fed up with your incompetence that they will just tell you what to draw or say, just never mind, because they don't like waiting around for you to, quote, decide what you're going to draw. So that's another strategy that you can use that is actually pretty helpful most of the time when you want to narrate your decision-making process out loud, but never actually make a decision. And then if a kid is responding to you going, Yeah, it doesn't matter. Just whatever you want. Oh, you're telling me that it doesn't matter and I can just choose, that I can do whatever I want. But that leaves so many options. And you feign that confusion and ignorance. And then usually they rescue you or they move on because they're just impatient and they get sick of you not drawing anything. So let me finish on this final thought. So you said the child is often inflexible and rigid at home and in the playroom and has a hard time when things do not go exactly as she has it planned in her head. This is why we don't deviate, because this is actually a scenario she's creating. She doesn't have to give you freedom. She can have ultimate dictatorial power in the playroom. She could order you to choose a color of marker. She could choose it for you. She could order you to draw something specifically. She could tell you exactly what you're supposed to do. She's giving you freedom. So this is a role reversal of sorts, where she's role reversing what happens at school. So we know she's working through that, number one. Number two, she's also creating an environment where you have some control and power and she doesn't. She could just order you to take the brown marker and draw a tree. I guess she would want brown and green in that scenario, but work with my analogy here. She could tell you what exactly to draw and what colors to use, but she's giving you some control over that, which is forcing her into a place of not being able to control everything that happens, which means there's therapeutic necessity and value in this. She's intentionally bringing this into the play because she knows she needs to work on this. She could construct the entire session where she never had the powerlessness that she's creating for herself, but she's intentionally saying, just draw whatever you want. And so giving you some of that control is very therapeutically important for her. And when we see in light of that, what's going on, that is what encourages us to remain adherent and go through that process, but still honoring her request in a meaningful way. So Amanda, thank you so much for the question. I hope that that's helpful. And I know you said you were going to go over that with your team as well. So hello, team. And I appreciate the email and for you reaching out. If y'all would like me to answer your questions, please reach out Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. You can also call in the States 813-812-5525 and leave a message. And I will answer your question if you leave me a voicemail as well. So love y'all. Hope you have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.